You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated the difference between the messianic Jews, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are. We're honored to be here with Hilton. All this program for 19 plus years. What, Pastor Donna?
Raising the standard.
We're raising the standard in the body of Christ. Things that we has been in the Bible for hundreds of years. And just basically, I think about the last 25 years or less, how things are being exposed now that God wants us to understand and realize that there's some things in here that we need to know in our walk, even as a believer. Now, a lot of this is about the Jewish people. Don't get me wrong. We know that. But there's things that we learn off of this. And you might be working someplace. You might work with a Jewish person. You might meet someone that you get the chance to talk to that's Jewish that does not know the Messiah. You'll have a little bit to talk about. Let me tell you, the Day of Atonement we're going to talk about today is so important. It's the most important day on their calendar, the most important time. Just think about that. It just ended on Wednesday. They've been rehearsing this for hundreds of years, and one day it's going to be the real thing because the whole pattern with all of it is the day that you should be rehearsing this event to the earth when He comes back to Jerusalem and puts His feet on the Mount of Olives for the last time as He sets up His kingdom. So this is a very important time. So we're going to talk about some of that here today with you. And there's no way I can cover all this. Every one of these lessons in this book I talk to you about all the time, there's about 3 hours of teaching on every one of these lessons. So if you want to find out even more, you can order the book. We offer it for $25 plus maybe $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. And then you can study it on your own. I'd rather read a book than listen to a tape or a CD, because you can go back and reread and reread and reread. You know, it's so well done that way. And so that's available to you if you'd like to have this book. Well, then you can order it. And I titled it from the beginning, God's Prophetic Calendar. It's the pictures of the Messiah, as revealed in God's appointed times for His face. The pictures of the Messiah, you know these things. And you will. You know, all of us, if you think about yourself, we all somewhere walking with the Lord, if you've been with the Lord any length of time, you're going to bump into somebody that's Jewish. I worked with a Jewish man for almost 8 years in an office. He wasn't there a lot, but he was there. And I would put tidbits in from here and there and there and yonder, a little here and a little there, you know. And some of it he would listen, and sometimes he had questions. So we don't. I don't know what happened with that. I haven't seen him for a long time. But those were seeds that went into his heart, and he knew the truth of all that. And so, because I gave him the truth, and I told him, so this is the truth. You either receive it or you don't. And so that's what we have to do. So you'll all have an appointment somewhere along the line. Maybe only one Jewish person would listen to you. And just think, if they got into the kingdom of God because of the few words that you would say, because you understand some of the Jewish things, it would be so impressionable to them and so precious to you in the future, as God will give you things. it would be support for that. And you know, most of the Jewish people, they don't know about all these things. They go to the synagogue and they go through their rituals, and some of them only go a couple, three times a year, Passover, and like now, maybe trumpets or whatever. But you might shed some light in their life that they would realize that Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, he came for them almost 2,000 years ago, and he's preparing to come back for them again. And he's going to give them a great opportunity. We talk about Jacob's trouble all the time. It's not the church's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble. But he's given them another 7 years of grace to receive their Messiah. The God the Father, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, sent his son to this earth, walked this earth as a man for 33 and a half years, died not just for the Jewish people, but for all mankind. And that's what the Day of Atonement is all about. It's a picture of the final atonement, the forgiveness of our sins. It's going to be there when Yeshua comes back to this earth. So we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole element. The forgiveness, we can't cover all this in one program, but we're going to cover part of them, the most important part. And so, Pastor Don, you got a couple of things you'd probably like to mention, and especially about tomorrow. We won't have our class at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And so there might be some other things you want to talk about before we get into the teaching here.
I just want to give say hello to everyone, and say hello to Roscoe and Audrey and over in the Bahamas. And, you know, the Bahamas was devastation over there.
Oh, boy, wasn't it?
Total
yes.
Devastation. And,
what a mess.
Many homes have been destroyed, and we really haven't even seen it on the news, what's happened in the Bahamas. But we have dear friends over there. That
yes, we do.
We start a church over there. They're building a church over there, Roscoe
and
Audrey.
The Temple of God.
The Temple of God, and they certainly could use some funds, especially at this time. So, you know, if you feel led to do that, you can be glad to send an offering for them.
Mark it. Yeah.
Right, for the Bahamas. And, you know, if you feel there, get it. Amen. Praise God. I want to mention, too, I want to say hello to those of you listen to us that by radio or by internet, because you can listen to this broadcast and you can listen to it again and again and again, like what Pastor Gene shares. You will like to write the scriptures down. I know he's going to be going pretty quickly on it, because he's got a lot to cover, but just write the scriptures down, or you know, go to the website. It's WCNO.com, and you can go on Saturday and you can look at the program guide, look for Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and you can listen to this broadcast again.
Or purchase the book and you'll find out more.
Or if you'd like to purchase the book, it's $25, and you can send a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. Zip code 34995.
Right.
And put in $2 or $3 for shipping and handling.
Yeah, maybe like $4. It costs
$4
about $3.50 to $4. Yeah.
So that would be great. And $2 or $3 for. I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute. But I want to mention too that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have like he said today, we do not have a service. But normally, our normal services are Friday night, and we had one last night. Friday night, it's 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. We have our Shabbat service, and we spend time seeking God's presence and have communion and teaching together. And then we'll come together again tomorrow on Sunday, the
Hallelujah.
First day of the week, at 10 a.m. We'll have service, and we meet with God, and that will be at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida. I'm going to give you the phone number so you can give us a call if you'd like to have more information or you'd like to have a calendar. And we will be, the following week, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles.
Hallelujah.
And we set up a tabernacle in the sanctuary.
Oh, glory.
And, amen. And, you know, you'll see the Christ child in the tabernacle, because that's when he was really born, at the first day of Tabernacles. You know, you'll next week, but it's lasts for 7 days. But then the eighth day is called Rejoicing in the Torah, and we know who the Torah is. It's Yeshua, it's Jesus. So that's a great time, a great festival, and we talk about a lot of things, water pouring and the lights, and just so many things that happened, so many things that Jesus did and talked about during that time when he was sharing with his disciples, and he was sharing in the temple in Israel. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7000. I'll have your ears open, and if you're not driving, you might want to grab a pen or a pencil and jot down some things that Pastor Gene's going to say. I also want to mention one more thing. We're getting ready for the 16th Annual Bible Reading Marathon. Yeah. Down some things that passed. That's going to start November the 11th, and it'll go through the 15th. It's 24/7, round the clock, 5 days. And so that's going to be here in Stuart, Florida. So we need many, many readers, and we need lots of help, to people to come and help and man the place, because it's day and night, round the clock, and it's our 16th year to read through the entire Bible from the Genesis 1-1 all the way through to the book of Revelation. So that's going to be an awesome thing. So give us a call on that, too, if you'd like to read. And we'd be glad to put your name down and give you 15 minutes to read. Can you give God 15 minutes? Yeah. Yes, more. You can read more than 15 minutes. You can read a half an hour. You can come and read two or three times. And the more the merrier. The more times the merrier, the more people. And so that's just going to be, that's on Veterans Day.
That's right.
We start right after the parade. We'll start at right after around 1 or 2 o'clock. And so that's going to be on the 11th of November. So, we start right after those 5 days. Amen. Amen. Pastor Gene, now you can start rolling.
Well, it's just so important. So it's interesting. It's going to open on Veterans Day and right after the parade, and we're going to start reading, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
It's going to be good.
So we're pray that it will be, we'll have
good
a
weather.
Celebration,
good weather.
And because the voting will be over with, and we pray that we have a person, a man that's president of this country that will uphold the Constitution.
Yeah.
And many other things that we believe in, like, we don't need to start talking about it. You know what they are. But the Constitution, and he's going to have to probably put two or three judges in, right, Pastor Gene?
More likely than these first 4 years.
And so
we want to
see
godly judges
raised back up in America.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Pastor Gene. Well, we want protection for our nation.
That's right.
Amen.
So we got to make
see godly standards. Make sure you vote.
We're going to give it to the wrong person if we don't go vote. So, and quit getting on all the other stuff. Just on the issues.
Look at the issues.
That's right. So we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement here. You know, if you think about it, it's called Yom Kippur in the Hebrew.
Yom Kippur.
And it's considered the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. They just went through this, okay? And they rehearsed it all over again. But the sad thing is, you know, they don't have a temple, so they can't do certain things. So I want to take you to a scripture to open up with here, and then we'll talk about this. I want to go to Romans chapter 10.
Many of them don't eat or drink the whole day, but, you know, that's not true of probably the majority of them. They probably don't keep this.
That's right.
You know, really, you know, because Yeshua is, because he is the Lord, you know, he is the atonement. He had the final atonement. You know, they don't even have a temple, Pastor Gene, to do the things in there that the Bible says that they did. So, you know, because Jesus fulfilled all those, the temple, Pastor Gene, to do the things in there that they, all the animals and the rams and the lambs and the goats and all the animals and the doves and all that and all the bloody things that they went through. There's no place to do that right now.
That's right.
They don't have a temple to do that in right now.
So we'll talk about that in a few minutes here, what they're doing now to try to fulfill that, which they can't. In Romans chapter 10 here, which Paul, you know, he was a Jew of Jews, and he wrote this. And listen to what it says. I'm going to just read the first three verses. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for who? For Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge." And here's the key verse. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Well, what is God's righteousness? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach.
Mm-hmm.
"And going about, they being ignorant of their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And that's through Yeshua. So this is a very important
Well, we need to read verse 4 too, because he gives the answer. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness."
That's right. The law was never intended to bring anybody to salvation. It was to teach us. When the Jewish people came to the Lord and walked with the Lord, it gave them instructions how to walk a holy life. We've been doing the Torah readings, haven't we?
It doesn't make us righteous.
No.
But when we receive Yeshua, when we receive Jesus in our heart, we have his righteousness has been imputed into
Hallelujah.
Us. So it's Christ is the end of the law for the law of righteousness.
So the only thing that really came to an end there was all the sacrifices and stuff. So for Christ is the end. It doesn't mean the end. It means it's a goal or a name.
But it's only to those who believe.
That's right.
It's only to those who believe, who receive Jesus in their heart, Yeshua in their heart, and they believe, and they are made righteous because
that's right.
It's only to his righteousness because of his blood, because of his sacrifice, because of what he did on the cross. He gave, God gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe.
Should not perish. That's right. Hallelujah.
It's believing in that, mm-hmm. not believing on other things or other objects to cause you to be holy.
That's right.
Or righteous.
So here Paul just clarifies everything because he was a Jew of Jews. We know that he was a Pharisee. And this just sums it all up. And so they had to have some kind of a substitute because the temple's not there anymore. So we'll look at a couple of things here and see what they had to do in all this. And so we've got to remember how important this was. And even in the Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the verse over there talks about the propitiation. The Yeshua's blood was the propitiation. It means it was a bloody sacrifice. And it comes right out of Leviticus chapter 16. So we're not going to go read all of Leviticus 16. It's the only appointed time that we have an entire chapter on is the Day of Atonement. It's chapter 16. And read it and see what the Lord shows you, because there was a bull that was sacrificed. There was two goats that were picked. One was sacrificed. The other was released. He was called the Azazel. He was released into the wilderness. And there's so much in it for us to know. And so if we look at this and understand it, you know, each year they did this. And like they just did, it's a temporal what? Just a temporal atonement. Even in Yeshua's day when they were sacrificing animals. So it really didn't cover,
Didn't remove them.
It covered their sins when the high priest came out from behind that veil and everything was done right. Well, they had another year to walk with the Lord. And so this is the whole thing, the purpose of all the Day of Atonement is to point us to the second advent of Jesus Christ, the day that he's going to come back and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it says over in Acts chapter 1 over there. That day is going to come. And so the days are getting shorter. And you can read those scriptures in the Bible where it talks about the Messiah having returned at a second advent. And so the days are getting shorter. Every year, this ritual, the high priest would sprinkle the assembled people for their cleansing. He put blood on them, if you read the scriptures. And so will the Messiah in his second coming. Isaiah 52, if you want to write that down, Isaiah 52, verses 13 through 15, talks about that, if you want to read that. And so there's an appointed, communicated time of all of this for the literal, physical advent of Yeshua to come back to the earth. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to that. So the second advent on Yom Kippur, there will be another day of judgment of those who have survived the 7 years of Jacob's trouble at the end, the last year of this trouble. For this reason, this day is also known as Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, even as Rosh Hashanah has the same thing, what? The Day of Judgment. And why? Because as we have seen, and we talked about it so much in our classes and on the radio program for years, early, we talked about this a lot in past days and all. The judgment books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago on that day. Early, souls will be moved to the book of the righteous. However, there will also be many who will remain in the book of remembrance. It's called the in-betweens or the intermediates. They will have an additional 10 days until the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to make their decision about the Messiah. This is important. These 10, just think about it. On the 7th year of Jacob's trouble, they're going to come down to the last 10 days of all. It'll be the most important time in those people's lives at that time. If they don't come, they will be lost. They have to come to Yeshua HaMashiach. There's no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no one cometh to the Father except by me. So we have to keep, this is important that we pray. Even we're past the Day of Atonement now, but the thing is, we're coming up on tabernacles and referring to the kingdom, but we continue to pray for Israel because we have not come to the end of Jacob's trouble. And we won't be there, hallelujah. When he comes back and we come with him, Israel, because we have not Jacob's trouble, hallelujah. So remember, those who receive Yeshua, their names will be moved from the book of remembrance and put into the book of the righteous. That's where you want to be. Those that do not receive Yeshua will be moved from the book of the righteous and added to the book of the wicked to be damned in Gehenna and hell. So on the Day of Atonement, the great shofar is blown, called the Shofar Hagadol, to gather in all the surviving that believe in Yeshua from the days of all. So how long are those days of all? They last for 10 days. God's given them 10 more days of grace and mercy to come to the Messiah. And so he's drawing them right now. So we should continue during these high holy days. We should continue to pray for Israel. Think about this. At the last year of Jacob's trouble, at the end of that year in the fall, there's going to be trumpets will come. the Day of Atonement will come, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, of course, we have the rejoicing in the Torah. It'll all be over in 22 days. Boom, boom, boom. So it's, and the Feast of Tabernacles, this now, and come to the Messiah. My heart is for them so much to understand this. And so, you know, we have some interesting names and all, and themes and idioms about the Day of Atonement. And so before we get into this really deep, we can think about some things. You can read Leviticus 16, I told you about, and all that. And it tells us there in those chapters in Leviticus 16 and even Numbers 29:7, which establishes God's purpose and direction, what, for this appointed time. Now that we if we read this, and I hope you read it, we challenge you to read this, this word regarding this day. I can't read all this with you because for time's sake, but we hope you'll read this maybe today. Maybe you'll read it today. And you'll prepare yourself to investigate the important attributes of Yom Kippur. So I've got six names, themes, and idioms that we can see and be revealed on the significance of this day. So what's six? It's man's number. First of all, in idioms that we already should know, but now if you've been listening to this program, Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. Second, it is called face-to-face. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 13. Third is called the day or the great day. Fourth, it is called the fast. Don't they fast? They fast for 24 hours. They don't drink water, don't eat, they don't do anything for 24 hours. Fifth is called the day of the blowing of the great shofar, the shofar Haggadah. And number six is called the closing of the gates. Now, why would that be important? During the last 10 days, the 10 days of all, on Rosh Hashanah, in Yeshua's day, the temple gates were all open wide, calling people back. You can read Isaiah 26. Open the gates and let the righteous people come through. It's all about opening the gates. But on the close of the Day of Atonement, at the close of the day, when they blow the great shofar Haggadah there, the temple gates will slowly close. And when that day is over, everybody is blow the great shofar, fate will be sealed for eternity. So it's important. It's primary that they understand they need Yeshua in their lives. They need Yeshua HaMashiach more than their next breath, or there won't be a future for them. They'll be in a bad place for eternity. And I don't want to see any of them go to that place called Gehenna, a place called hell. Amen. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. The only way you can shun that thing and stay away from hell is to do one thing, and that's to come to Yeshua. I just quoted what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. No one can come to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh except through him. And so, Lord, we pray that these words, if there's a Jewish person listening out here today, that they're going to get pricked in their heart and they'll realize how important this is that they make this decision. And so, finally, you know, we think about these two goats that were picked on that day. One that was sacrificed and one was released. The priest laid hand. Finally, you know, we think about these and they confessed their sin, their transgressions, and their iniquity, all three types of sins, and they all mean something else. And it was taken out into the wilderness and released at that time to go in, showing our sins is going out as far as the east is from the west. And so that animal was called the Azazel in the Hebrew, meaning the scapegoat, and is sent away to wander in the wilderness. And you can read that in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 10. It talks about doing that. So think about this. Before the goat is sent out, the high priest lays his hands upon the head and confesses over that animal all the sins we talked about, transgressions and iniquities of Israel. In Leviticus 16:21, we have a remez, or a hidden meaning, regarding John the Baptist and Yeshua himself. At the end of this verse, it says this, shall send him, the goat, away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. The great meaning with all this is this goat is a foreview of Yeshua, and the fit man is also a foreview of John the Baptist. John laid his hands on Yeshua, who was to take away the sin of the world at Yeshua's water baptism. It tells us that. Remember when John saw him coming, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Immediately after Yeshua's baptism, the Spirit of God sent Yeshua into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. John the Baptist was the suitable man that was chosen. So we have this remiz, or this hidden meaning, in Leviticus chapter 16, that God chose John the Baptist to send the scapegoat, who was Yeshua, into the wilderness, thus fulfilling Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21. This goat, the Azazel, was sent into the wilderness. It's important for us to understand in Judaism, this picture is of Satan, or Hasatan, he's called, wilderness, fire. We can see this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And why? To get the proper answer, we need to look at the ceremony of the two goats through the Jewish understanding. First of all, the two goats were considered as one offering. They were both, even though one was killed, the other one was released, but we'll find out here what happened with the other one. Next, in the Mishnah, the Jewish writing, we find further details about these goats. A crimson thread, picture of the blood, was tied around the horns of the goat marked as Azazel. At the appropriate time, the goat was led to a steep cliff in the wilderness and shoved off the cliff. What happened to him? He died. Huh? In connection with this ceremony, an interesting tradition arose that is again mentioned in the Mishnah. A portion of the crimson thread was also attached to the door of the temple before the goat was sent into the wilderness. The thread would turn from red to white as the goat attached to the door of the temple. As soon as it died, it turned from what? Red to white, signaling to the people that God accepted their sacrifices and their sins were forgiven for another year. This was based upon Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Pastor Don, I want you to turn. Let's read that verse as I go on. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Mishnah also states that 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the thread ceased turning white. This, of course, was when Yeshua was crucified on the cross. Yeshua died in 30 A.D., and 40 years later, in 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed. Read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18.
Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
That's right. So there you are. So this was all based on Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. So God did this.
They shall
after then. Year after year, the crimson red on the goat and on the door turned white as snow after he.
But death. No more.
No more after Yeshua's death.
The temple's gone?
That's right. So the typology and the picture of all this about the Day of Atonement is further explained in Hebrews chapter 9. You can read that over there. It talks about the two goats used on Yom Kippur present a beautiful picture of Yeshua.
So that happened every single year, what you're saying. That happened every single year. It turned white.
Until Yeshua died.
But when he died, mm-hmm. and the temple was still there, mm-hmm. it wasn't destroyed for another 40 years.
That's right.
So during those, every single year afterwards, it never changed.
Never changed again.
Why didn't they see that?
Some of the rabbis did. I read some things in some of the Jewish writings, but the majority of them wouldn't accept it, okay?
Because most of the believers in the first 100 years, yeah. weren't they Jewish people?
That's right. That's what they were.
So many of them saw it,
That's
but
right.
many of them didn't.
That's right.
But you would think.
That's what they were.
So many of them for centuries. And then all of a sudden,
it stopped.
It stops.
It stopped. When did it stop? In 30 A.D. after Yeshua died.
Yeshua
never
died.
Happened again.
It never happened again.
Showing that there's only one blood sacrifice. Don't need no more.
And Jesus is the only one.
That's
and
right.
One sacrifice. You can't sacrifice Jesus over and over again.
No.
Even the New Testament talks about that.
That's right. You can't.
It's once and for all.
So those two goats they picked, one of them had to die. They sacrificed that one that died. As Yeshua had to die, while the other goat lived and carried the sins of the people into the wilderness and disappeared. This is a picture of the sins in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeshua, as our living Savior, carries our sins, and God removes, not covers them anymore. Think about that. In Yeshua's day and before, when the priest went behind that veil, it did not remove their sins. It covered them for another year. They were not removed. You can read this in the book of Hebrews also. Until Yeshua came out of the grave, and then all those sins that were covered now were totally, they were not removed. You can read them. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. It should grieve the Jewish people that the observance of this appointed time was changed by their own people many years after God had given them the specifics of this day and its importance. He gave them all the instruction, what had to be done. You can read Leviticus 16. It tells you everything that was required of them. And so then in the second temple period, the Jewish people were actually pulling hair out of the scapegoat and shouting in anger as the goat was led past them on the way to the desert. On the way out, that's what they were doing. How amazing that this anger toward the goat that was bearing their sins was a picture of Yeshua also. So reflects the behavior of many Jews as Yeshua was arrested, tried, and crucified for the sins of the entire world. It's amazing. Those two animals, how important it reveals. And you know, it's interesting that God chose goats. He didn't choose lambs. He chose goats for this to be revealed to us. And so, because they had to be a goat, that God chose goats, Azazel had to be there. Well, now let's think about this. We talked about this and what happened after Jesus died. For 40 years, that ribbon never turned from scarlet red to white again. So how do they handle the loss of the temple today and after Yeshua's death? You know, the biblical guidelines for Yom Kippur were observed by the Jews as long as they had the tabernacle or the temple in which to properly offer sacrifices. I have a book up here somebody gave me years ago, and it's all about the Day of Atonement. It's about 2 inches thick, all the things that they did to get ready for that. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The Jews faced the question of how to celebrate the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, and its services. Of course, the religious leaders in that day experienced tremendous shock as a result of losing their temple. They were bewildered for a long time. In fact, this shock and dismay brought a depth of loss which was revealed in the words of a second century rabbi, where he said, "In fact, this we have no prophet or depth or sacrifice. Who shall atone for our sins?" That was the question. The only thing left to us is to pray. Well, pray doesn't do it. Praying does not do it, does it? Today, now we can pray to Yeshua for our sins because he's the bloody sacrifice. He's the one. He was our sacrifice of atonement. So we can pray to him and ask him to forgive us our sins. But just to, and the Jewish people, just to pray to God, it's not going to do it. In fact, they can't really pray to God until they know Yeshua. They have to have a relationship with Yod Heh Vav Heh through Yeshua HaMashiach. That's when the relationship comes, then God hears them. So the Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus also made atonement for their sins as well, or they tried to with prayer. Another decision which was contrary to God's word was saying this: prayer would be a natural substitute for the sacrificial offerings. Boy, what a lie that is. We just read this in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, sacrificial offerings, but to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's only one way to have the righteousness of God, and it's through Yeshua HaMashiach. So subsequently, the rabbis added two more keys to their atonement and salvation essential to winning God's mercies on Yom Kippur, they thought. Rabbi Eliezer, and he was a second century rabbi, said this: three elements avert a harsh decree from God. They are prayer, charity, and penitence. This work-centered justification system is certainly in direct contradiction to the Jews' own Bible commentary, the Talmud, where it states, there is no atonement except with blood. This is revealed in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. And we have it here in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. The Jews had a detailed reading of the sacrificial rites, which were incorporated as part of Yom Kippur liturgy. And it's all had a detail in the first covenant, isn't it, Pastor Donna? Even today, these three elements of prayer, charity, and penitence are replacements. I'm going to say that again. Are replacements, are substitutes for the once a year national sacrifice. Some of the Orthodox Jews even select a chicken today, preferably a white one, and recite this: a life for a life. After prayers and laying of their right hand upon the head of their sacrifice, the chicken, they swing this live chicken over their head and say, "This is my substitute."
No way.
No way. This is my exchange. This is my atonement.
No way.
This fowl would go to death, and I shall enter upon a good and long life in peace. Mm-hmm. Then after three repetitions of this ceremony, the chicken is slaughtered. Do they think that's going to give them forgiveness of sin? Well, since the loss of the temple and the opportunity to offer proper sacrifices to God brought the Jews to a fork in the road, and it certainly did, they had to make a decision. They could, and they offered their own approach to God, as we just read Romans 10:3. Or follow the other path, the correct one, by asking themselves this question: if God has allowed the destruction of our place of worship and sacrifice, has he already provided the promised sacrifice of Isaiah 53? Yes, he has. He has. History and the rabbinical teachings demonstrate a choice to refuse God's plan that offered Yeshua as fulfilling the need for the shedding of innocent blood. Instead, they invented their own works and their system of approaching God. It'll never work. So they're still in their sins until they come to Yeshua. They can pray at the wall all day long, but they will not have their sins forgiven until they come to Yeshua. It's incredible we think about these things. Now, I was thinking about this. There's a lot more meaning to this time called the Day of Atonement and Yom Kippur. You know, the Jewish custom of the last 10 days of Teshuvah. Now, I was thinking about this. There's the Rosh Hashanah and ends on Yom Day of Atonement. So Teshuvah just ended a couple days ago, didn't it, Pastor Don, on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Within this time, with the Jewish thought, these 10 days represent the 7 years of Jacob's trouble. Well, here's an interesting question about this. How could it represent the 7 years when it's a period of 10 days? Why wouldn't it represent 10 years? It represents 7 years. How can these 10 days represent 7 years instead of possibly 10 years? Well, the answer comes from looking at historical events in Israel's history. First, as we now know, trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, comes on a new moon, was celebrated on 2 days, not one. This then leaves yet 8 more days to Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Secondly, there's another day from Israel's history that happened during these 10 days of Teshuvah. Beginning on Tishri 3, the fastly, there's another who remained in the land of Israel at the captivity. Israel declared a fast to remember this event. This was on Tishri 3. Therefore, there only remain 7 more days to Yom Kippur. This represents the last 7 years of God's prophetic dealings with his people Israel. So this takes it down to 7 days. And you can read about Gedaliah over in 2 Kings chapter 25, 22 through 26, when a man by the name of Ishmael came in with ten men. It makes me think about the last days, these 10 kings, and they killed Gedaliah. So they honored a fast after that happened. It's unreal when I think about these things. So when we think about during these last 7 days, especially, the Jews go into a time of seclusion. For 7 days, beginning with the fast of Gedaliah until Yom Kippur, they study the Torah and, if necessary, repent of their misdeeds. But see, they cannot have forgiveness without Yeshua. In fact, there's a scripture. I'm going to read this with you. It's in Revelation chapter 8. Just repent of their misdeeds. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. I'm going over to Revelation, if I'm right. I think it's in chapter 8, and I believe it's in the very first verse. Hallelujah. Yes, listen to this. John saw all this in that realm, in the book of Revelation. And when he had opened the seventh seal, the angel, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. The high priest on that day, the Day of Atonement, before Yeshua would come back at the very end, it was required every year, though, they had to do it. They had to lay prostrate in front of the veil for 30 minutes before they got up and did the rest of the ceremony to go behind the veil. And some of the Jewish people believe they didn't even go behind the veil, that God just pulled them, spiritually just pulled them through the veil. They had to lay there for 30 minutes, and that was the only day, that was the only time they could mention the unutterable name of God. You know, all the books that the Jewish people write, when you see the name of God, they don't pronounce his name. They have G, a dash, and D. They won't use the word God. You know, all the books of the Jewish people, that's the time that the high priest had to speak that word was on the Day of Atonement. That's a clue to us how holy his name really is. And so they did that. And so important we understand that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So they secluded themselves also for 7 days before that. They weren't to go near their wives or anything. They had total seclusion with the Lord. There's another aspect of the Jewish teaching concerning these days of awe, these last 10 days. The Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah, or trumpets, and Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is called the Sabbath of Return. Woo! For them, they need to come back. They need to make Teshuvah to come back. It means to return back to the Lord. Because Hosea 14:1 is read, which begins with, O Israel, return. Here it is, Teshuvah. O Israel, Teshuvah, return unto the Lord thy God. This is the time in the future when the Jews who remain on earth after the resurrection and the catching away must prepare themselves spiritually for the great day of the future when the Jews are 10 days. They must come to the knowledge that Yeshua is indeed their Messiah. If not, they will be moved from the book of the remembrance, we talked about that a little bit ago, or it's called the intermediates, to the book of the wicked. This means total separation from God for eternity. Wow, makes me almost want to cry thinking about it. Now, knowing this, no wonder the priest will be weeping between the porch of the temple and the altar on that day. I'm going to take you over to Joel chapter 2. I should have had some paper in here, but I didn't. I'm going to go to Joel chapter 2 with you.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want to read 2 verses to you, and you'll see why. I've heard all kinds of things taught about this time, but it doesn't fit in at all. It's, you know, remember, these scriptures were read like in Hosea and Joel All God is talking to the Jewish people. He's not talking to us. We learn things from it, but he's talking to the Jewish people. So I'm going to take you over there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Mm. All right. We're talking about a Jewish people. So I'm going to... Whew. Boy. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 17. In fact, I'm going to go back to 15. This is the Day of Atonement. Blow the trumpet of the shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. It's the only one that God has in his word is Yom Kippur. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom, this is a picture of Yeshua, go forth of his chamber and the bride, the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile, the Messiah, out of her closet. Now here's the key verse. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give us thine heritage. I'm sorry, and give not thine inheritance. And say that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So why were they weeping? Because they know in the Day of Atonement that the gates are closed at the end of the day. They know that when those gates are fully closed, and the sun went down, that the people that were there, their fate would be sealed for eternity. That's what they were weeping about. It's amazing when we think about the things that God has for us to know. So the Bible states that many Jews before and on the Day of Atonement will accept Yeshua as their true Messiah. You can read this in Zechariah chapter 12, 10. Well, let's just read that. I'm going to go to Zechariah. I need to read a few of these verses here. Zechariah, I'm going to go to chapter 12. You hear my pages turn there? That's all right. Whoosh. 12. 10 through 11. Listen to this. And I will pour out let me where I want to go. I'm going to start in verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord, Jacob's trouble, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I'm going to start in verse 9. House of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Verse 11, in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. Again, very interesting verses there, right? There's a very interesting word here in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. It's the word look. See what it says here? And shall look upon me. Look upon me. This little word in the Hebrew does not just mean to look upon with a physical eye, but to regard with pleasure and respect. Therefore, the word tells us the Jews will look unto. Look unto. Look unto, and not just upon the Messiah for their salvation. Looking at him in the physical will not. Instead, looking unto him as their Savior, Messiah, and what he can give to them, which is eternal life. There's also another correlation on Yom Kippur, and the day of recognition of Yeshua as the Messiah, seen in the writings of one of the Jewish rabbis. He states on this day, which is the Day of Atonement, that all the priests who participate in the ceremonies of Yom Kippur pronounce the unutterable, ineffable name of God and bow their knee at the feeling of God's nearness. And you know, the Jews don't bow their knee except on this day. Here and only here does the Jew kneel. Here and only here does the Jew kneel. I lay down before God anytime.
All the time.
All the time. Also, the whole congregation prostrates themselves before the King of Kings at that time. You can read this in Isaiah 45. It's in Romans 14. And also in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Let's read that. I like that. Let's go to Philippians. I like to throw a little New Testament in here. Also in Philippians 2, 9. To show us how important.
Amen.
To show us how important all this is. Every word in the Word of God is important, isn't it, Pastor Don? Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Are you ready for this? Listen to this. Well, I'm going to back up. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was.
That's right.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus or Yeshua, every knee should bow. This is a day of atonement, scripture. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under every knee should bow. This is a tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What an incredible few verses that is, isn't it? It's incredible. Hallelujah. So we know that God promises in the first covenant and in the new covenant that on some future day, every knee will bow before, and the scripture just said that. But how meaningful this observation becomes when the light of Philippians 2:10 shines upon it, what we just read. Yes, even the current observances of the Jews reveal that much is already in place for the national recognition of their Messiah on some future day called Yom Kippur. When he comes and makes a second advent, puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. Many do not know that the Messiah they are looking for is none other than Yeshua HaMashiach. Also today, many recognize their Messiah as Yeshua. Nevertheless, today is a day of salvation, not at the end of Jacob's trouble. Many alive today will not live to see Yeshua. Yeshua, nevertheless, an advent. There is an urgency in the Spirit to bring in as many as possible right now. So as we continue to think on the significance of this day, the Day of Atonement, it is actually taught by the Jews that because of this face-to-face confrontation with God, the Jewish idiom for Yom Kippur became what? Face-to-face. Paul used that term in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies on this day and was face-to-face with God. Between the holy place and the Holy of Holies hung an elaborate curtain called the veil. Mm. Its name in Hebrew means to hide or cover. This blue, purple, and scarlet veil of fine twine linen glittered with the woven gold figures of cherubim. The purpose of the veil was twofold. Besides shielding the Holy of Holies from all but the high priest, this veil covered the ark whenever the Jews relocated their portable tabernacle in the wilderness. This veil protected the Holy of all but the high priest either on the wilderness march or when it was placed in the tabernacle. Again, it protected the holiness of God from the profanity of man. Therefore, it protected both God and man at the same time. That veil. In Josephus' writings, I've read this years ago, he tells us that the veil was 4 inches thick in his day and renewed each year. He stated wild horses tied to each end of the veil after it had been taken down were not able to rend it asunder. That's how powerful it was. How amazing that God actually ripped that veil in two pieces at the death of his son. He did it, thus allowing access for man
On the Passover,
into the Holy of Holies at the throne of grace, revealing that Yeshua became the once and for all, the Yom Kippur sacrifice, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. God tore his garment over the anguish of his son's death, which was for all mankind. Therefore, tore his garment, or to face simply leap out at us. In light of the Jewish perspective of Yom Kippur, we can now savor these words by the Apostle Paul. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when Yeshua, the Messiah, comes face to face. Incredible. So there's so much in this that we could talk about, but we covered the main part of it, and I just want you to know the significance of what it's all about, and we should honor this. And as I said before, it's the only appointed time that we have a whole chapter, don't we, Pastor Don, in the Bible? The only one. And that's Leviticus chapter 16 that talks about the Day of Atonement. So we're honored to be here with you, and I hope you got something out of this for your benefit. You can order this book, find out more. This is a 3-hour teaching. I've just touched the surface of it, and you can find out even more. All the things that was written with the Jewish rabbis during this time. It's in the Mishnah and all that. And so, we have a lot of things in the Torah that we don't have in the New Testament to tell us some things, and a lot of things even in the Torah during this time. It's in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah and those Jewish writings tell you what's going on at those appointed times every year. If they rehearsed, and they rehearsed. And so here we are. They just got done rehearsing the Day of Atonement again. But one day, it's going to be the real thing. Just like one day, they rehearsed Passover, didn't they, for about 1,500 years. And then one day, it became the real thing. The Messiah came. So we're looking forward to coming.
So God uses the feast. That's what this book is about.
That's right.
The feast of the Lord to show us what he's doing, even like when the Day of Atonement comes, the last Day of Atonement comes.
That's right, the time of
year. Because that's when the gate is closed.
That's right.
And so that's when your fate is sealed. Well, we've given our lives to the Lord, so you know we have a down payment, right? To say that when Yeshua comes to catch us away. But after that, you're talking about those 7 years.
That's right.
Those tribulation years.
At the end of the last seven years.
At the
year,
end of that.
Last year.
Okay. But he used his feast.
That's right.
Everything he does, he's used his feast. Now we
Always
can see
does.
He used the spring feast. He fulfilled all those spring feasts, so he
yep.
used every one of them.
Sure did.
And so still, there's still three feasts in the end of the in this area, in this time, this month, actually, in the month of Tishri, that have not been fulfilled.
Now we have two left, don't we?
And to completely fulfill.
Yeah.
So, you know, God fulfills part of it, like when the catching away hell happened, that the Rosh Hashanah, well, that'll be fulfilled, part of it will, but then God's still going to even use that at the end of the 7 years, like he's going to use the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
Again, at the end, at the very end. It's interesting. This is why it's important that we know some things about our what we call the feasts of the Lord.
They're his appointed times. They weren't.
They're
man's.
All the feasts of the Lord.
That's right. It's all
and
about
this
him.
Is why we need to know these. The feast we need to also honor the Sabbath day.
That's right.
The Sabbath
day. There's really 8 appointed times.
So we're talking about the Sabbath is every single week.
That's right.
And then you know, and the number 7 is very important. And this year is now this year that we're in right now is see we're already in a new year.
That's right.
It's still 2016, but if we go by God's calendar, we're in 5777.
That's right.
So that's 3 sevens, and
that's
3 sevens are very important because the number 7 is completion. What is God going to? Is God saying he's going to be completing things very soon? I believe so. And you can look at the things that are happening in the world today and how we're almost as bad, maybe worse, than they were when they were right there at the mountain when Moses came down with those 10 commandments.
That's right.
And they were doing all these terrible things, you
mm-hmm.
know. And when Moses leave it, you know, he through those commandments and broke them, but here that this is all going on and all Bible says too as it was in the day of Noah.
Oh.
What about what was going on during the days of Noah?
That's right.
Well, look what's going on today.
America.
Look at all of the things that are happening in America.
That's right.
And around the world. So, you know, we should be able to see.
That's right.
But I believe that many many Christians are blinded, and they don't see. They're moved by fear.
And unbelief and doubt.
And unbelief and doubt.
Yeah.
And so not trusting in the Lord.
That's right.
And not doing, they don't want to please God. They want to satisfy their own self.
What they want to do.
It's self.
And I think about, you're talking about Mount Sinai, you know, when Moses came down the first time, he threw those tablets down and broke. Understand with their writings that he went up on the first day of Teshuvah and he came down on the last day, which was what?
Day of Atonement.
Those 40 days.
That's
he
when
went
he
up
came
on Rosh
down.
Hashanah and came back down.
Right, and you know he repented for the people.
That's right.
And because God was ready to destroy them and start
sure
all
was.
Over again with Moses, you know, but you know he interceded for the people that God would give them more time, give them another chance, and God did. And you know that's God's grace and His mercy. And you know as we saw the storm coming through here, Matthew.
That's right.
We many people prayed, and I believe that the hand of God held that storm off the shore.
More, that's right.
But many places were in devastation. The Bahamas
that's right.
have been in devastation. And Roscoe and Audrey over there, you know, they are where they live, the whole devastation. The Bahamas,
right.
Holy Islands, you've never seen such devastation. And so many places were. And it says it rains on the just and the unjust. But, you know, God spared. He spared Florida.
Sure did.
And many people were praying. And it's not luck.
Yeah,
it's
people
not
say,
luck.
Oh, we were lucky. You know, we weren't lucky.
You know,
we were blessed by God.
God
That's
was,
right.
People were praying and God gave us a reprieve.
That's right.
But how many reprieves is God going to give his people?
That's right.
You know.
Mm. So the whole picture of this is just amazing to look at the Day of Atonement and all. And
so if somebody would like to have this book, it consists of all the feasts. It consists of the calendar, in the very first chapter, is about the calendar. We need to know God's calendar. How many days did God have on His calendar? Is not like our calendar.
That's right.
No, and His calendar starts on Tishri 1. That's the birth.
That's their new year.
That's the birth of, they believe that's the birth of the world. When Adam and Eve, that all started on Tishri 1. That's the birth.
That's their new
year. So we have this year, and they, we talk about, we want to be on God's calendar. Now, we do have our January, February, March. We do have that.
All
but like the
names.
Calendar that I make for the church,
yeah.
It has both calendars.
That's right, superimposed.
So we need to know what God's calendar is.
Amen.
On, because then we'll realize, we'll know when Jesus really was born. We'll be talking about that next week. Because Jesus was not born on
Christmas Day.
The 25th of
December. Yeah.
No, He wasn't. And, you know, everyone knows that. Or not everyone knows that. But a lot of people have proved that. But they still don't want to go back to the truth. They want
right.
to embrace many. We embrace a lot of things
pagan
that are
things.
Pagan.
That's right.
And what we need to do is get back on God's calendar and embrace the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will make us free. And we want to be free, or do you want to be? You want to still stay in bondage?
That's
do you
right.
want to still
come
stay,
out from among them? He said.
You still want to be part of the lie. And we want to be for people in the government who's put all these things. Well, there's a lot of liars out there.
That's right.
And, you know, the Bible says that the devil's a liar.
That's right, he is.
So
if somebody, he's been a liar from the
somebody
beginning.
Is lying, and they're a liar, then you know what? They're not of God. They're of the devil.
Sure.
So we want to know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us free.
So this is an interesting, this Day of Atonement, how it's going to end everything when the Lord comes back. And so I think the Bible makes it clear. This will be the day that He comes and puts His foot on the Mount of Olives.
Mount of Olives.
Literally, His advent at the last year
the
of Jacob's
end.
Trouble. He's going to establish His
just
kingdom.
Just before He sets up the kingdom.
Right,
well,
so,
this
gosh,
is
Pastor. We're running out of time, Pastor
yes,
Don. How can
I mean,
that be?
Well, hallelujah. This is, if you'll, so you want this book, just give us a call. I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute.
Or you can just send a check and ask for it.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon till 1. You can go back and listen to this again. You can go to on your phone or your radio. You can go to WCNO.com and you can go to Saturday, go to the program guide and look for Raising the Standard with Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. And enjoy. And if you'd like to have the book, give us a call. I will tell you how you can where you can mail it to. And we'd be glad to mail it out to you as soon as possible because
Amen.
There's so much in it. There's, I mean, all these charts that are in here. I mean, he's got not only the Daniel and the book of Revelation and so much studying. There's people that are taking this book and they're teaching it in their church, in their Sunday school class or with the group of people. You know, you can take this and you can use it as a guide and use it as your tool to teach other things about the feast of the Lord.
That's right.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
We need to be like the sons of Issachar.
Amen.
They knew the times and the seasons.
That's
and God,
8-5-7.
And we've had a lie for years that we don't know the truth. And it's not hidden. It's right there. So as we close the program every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.